All right, we are back in the studio on this unseasonably warm day here in Marion, and we are in week 10 of the 2024 Mid-States Football Association regular season. The Wildcats remain perfect at home on the season as they beat the Cardinals of Concordia in their final ever matchup. Led by Roosevelt Cage, the Wildcats took care of business on offense, and the defense held firm in the second half, shutting down the Cardinals' offense. The Wildcats remain at the number three spot in the NAIA. With that being said, I'm Gannon Parker, and welcome back to This Week in Wildcats Football. Before we go any further, let's take a look at the scores and standings in the MSFA and the top 10 in the NAIA after the weekend slate of games. Lawrence Tech beat Madonna 45-28. Taylor beat Defiance 63-12. St. Francis of Indiana beat St. Francis of Illinois by a score of 28-20. Marion beat St. Xavier 31-20. And Olivet Nazarene beat Judson 65-20. Looking at the standings in the Midwest League, St. Francis is 3-0 in conference play, 7-2 overall. Marion is 2-1, 6-2 overall. St. Francis, Illinois, also 2-1 in conference play, also 6-2 overall. Olivet Nazarene, 2-1 in conference play, however, they are 5-3 overall. St. Xavier, Illinois is 0-3 in conference play, 4-5 overall. And Judson is 0-3 in the conference and 1-7 overall. Moving over to the Mideast League, the Wildcats sit atop the division at 3-0 in conference play, 8-1 on the season. The Trojans are 7-2 overall, 2-1 in conference play. The Cardinals are 4-5 overall, but 2-1 in conference play. Lawrence Tech is 2-6, however, they are 1-2 in conference play. Siena Heights is 2-6 overall, 1-2 in conference play. Defiance is 3-6 overall, however, they have not played a conference game. And Madonna is 0-3 in the conference, 0-9 overall. As for the big picture in the NAIA, Kaiser sits at number one, Grandview sits at number two, Indiana Wesleyan sits at number three, Montana Western sits at number four, St. Thomas of Florida is at five, Morningside out of Iowa is at six, Dort moves up to seven, Mid-America Nazarene moves up to eight, Texas Wesleyan enters the top 10, they are at number nine, and rounding out the top 10 is Montana Tech. Those are your scores and standings in the MSFA and the NAIA after Saturday's slate of games. In their final ever meeting, Indiana Wesleyan was able to overcome a sloppy first half that was riddled with mistakes with a strong showing by Roosevelt Cage and the absence of Ryan Whitwell. The Wildcats held the Cardinals scoreless in the second half until the final 15 seconds of play as the team extends their home winning streak to 23 straight games. The Wildcats sit at number three with just two games to go in the regular season. Looking over at the scoring summary, Roosevelt Cage got things started with a 67-yard touchdown run and then did it again from 2 yards out, making the score 14-0. And then Caden Thomas tacked on a field goal for the Cardinals, making it 14-3. Moving over into the second quarter, Josh Clifton responded with a 30-yard field goal before Colby Kamisha had a 72-yard touchdown run on an option play, and then Isaac Smith actually recovered a fumble in the end zone that Isaiah Gibbs fumbled. It was counted as a rushing touchdown for Isaac Smith. And then Jordan Garcia caught a 73-yard touchdown pass right before the end of the half, making it 24-17 heading into the locker room. Moving over into the second half, Josh Clifton opened things up with a 21-yard field goal. That was the only score of the third quarter. And then moving over into the final quarter of play, Isaac Smith had a 6-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine. Roosevelt Cage had a 6-yard run. And then Elijah Gibbs had a 2-yard touchdown run before James Carpenter snuck one in with just 15 seconds of play, making your final score 48-24 with the Wildcats on top. Just looking at some team stats for the Wildcats, they had 26 total first downs, 15 on the ground, 10 through the air, 1 aided by penalty. For the Cardinals, they had 15, 4 on the ground, 9 through the air, and 2 were aided by penalty. The Wildcats were able to accrue 307 yards on the ground to the Cardinals 139. Through the air, the Cardinals actually outpassed the Wildcats by a significant margin. Cardinals with 260, the Wildcats with just 184. However, the Wildcats did still end up with more total offense with 491 yards compared to the Cardinals 399. And this was, to say the least, this was an interesting game for the Wildcats. Offensively, at least through the air, we did not see the fireworks that we are used to. Kyle Antoine, I think it's safe to say he had his, I don't want to say worst game because that implies that he's had, you know, not so great games, but it was his least impressive game. I think we'll just stick with that. Going just 15-27 for 184 yards. He had a touchdown. He had an interception early at the start of each half. He threw one in the first half, and then obviously in the second half, both of them were just poorly thrown balls. He did not look comfortable really in this game. I think this was the first time all season long where, as I was watching the game, I thought to myself, he really just doesn't seem like he's in the groove that we're used to seeing him in. And it was clear. He started out, he was overthrowing receivers, and then I think he was overcompensating, and he started underthrowing guys a little bit. He had an opportunity to hit, I believe it was Caden Curry in the left corner of the end zone. Curry had a couple steps, and he threw it just behind him. The defensive back made a heck of a play, so I'll give him his credit there. But we just, you know, we're not used to seeing Antoine do those sorts of things. However, the rest of the guys really were able to step up. The running backs really did a nice job. I mean, it was really all Roosevelt Cage. He had 222 total yards on 28 rushing attempts, 3 touchdowns. His longest was 67 yards. He averaged 7.9 yards per carry. I mean, there was talk of him really breaking the single-game rushing record that was set by Tay Williams just a season ago. We've seen all these Wildcat records get broken, and it wouldn't be a surprise if Roosevelt Cage, a backup, we've seen backups break records too, but it would not be shocking if we saw Roosevelt Cage do that. Ryan Whitwell obviously was not in the game. He was hurt. He got injured during practice. It was a hamstring injury, and talking with Coach Rohde, he sounds optimistic that they can get him back for the playoffs, so no need to rush an injury. And why would you? You have such a solid backfield. Elijah Gibbs did a pretty solid job as a second runner. We knew he was going to get more touches as Cage had to step into the starting role, and he did a phenomenal job. The receivers had a bit of a quiet day. Isaac Smith had the only receiving touchdown on the day. He had 5 catches for 71 yards and a score. His longest was 31. Levi Tidwell, just 3 catches for 44 yards. He had himself a good game. He had an incredible catch along the left sideline. I believe that was in the towards the end of the first half. But yeah, no, the receivers did a nice job too. And I think for a team, when the receivers are not able to get involved as much, there is a temptation to kind of be a little downbeat or, you know, say, hey, why aren't we getting the ball? But this was just not that kind of game where the receivers were going to have a huge game. The Cardinals DBs did a nice job working on those receivers, but they really couldn't stop the ground attack. And why go away from something that's working? So I think the offense did a nice job in that second half. They scored 24 points in both halves. You wouldn't know it based on the way the rest of the game was feeling. The Cardinals offense, that was an interesting sight to watch for sure. They had Colmie Comiche in there. Comiche was actually not even the starting quarterback at the start of the season. He wasn't even a quarterback. He was a safety that the Cardinals had to plug in at quarterback after several really unfortunate injuries. And I think he did a nice job. He went 14 of 36 for 260 yards, had a touchdown, had an interception. He broke off a 73-yard touchdown run, did get sacked a couple times, but he made a lot of great plays with his legs. And I think the Wildcats weren't fully ready for that at first, but I think as the game went on, they really made good adjustments. Comiche also had 118 yards on the ground in total. As for the Cardinal receivers, I think they did a good job. Jordan Garcia was their main receiver. Logan Hay was really the main target. He played a tight end, but he's a pretty fast and physical tight end, built more like a stronger receiver. He had 4 catches for 95 yards. His longest was 43. We saw Comiche really want to go to him a lot, especially in that first half. Jordan Garcia, 4 catches for 125 yards, 1 touchdown. His longest was 73 yards. Garcia made a number of nice plays as well, and that was a real area of concern that I had here, is just the secondary coverage. It was really spotty. There were just a lot of guys that seemed like that were running free. Comiche made some nice throws, put the ball in a good spot. But overall, I mean, it was pretty obvious that they were not going to take too many deep shots with a quarterback that is really still trying to learn the system. As the second half went on, they really started covering the checkdowns. They were also really able to get in the backfield quite well, which really made Comiche uncomfortable. He still tried to make some plays. Obviously, the Wildcats were able to get home a few times. They stopped the running attack. I mean, it was not there, at least from the running backs. Quarterback Comiche obviously had that big 73-yard run. But overall, they did a nice job just containing the backs inside and making sure they couldn't go outside. But yeah, secondary coverage, that's a real point of concern, I think, going into these final 2 weeks of the season. I don't want to be one of those guys in the media that's like, oh, well, it was ugly, so, you know, it's not as good of a win. Hey, a win's a win, and that really is the only stat that matters. But I do think that the secondary coverage needs to be a little sharper, a little better against teams that have better receivers and better quarterbacks. Also, another thing, the absence of Ryan Whitwell. Cage had a phenomenal game. That wasn't a surprise to anybody who's watched the Wildcats play and has seen Cage run the football this year. However, when Cage is not in there, you throw in Elijah Gibbs. Gibbs has not had a tremendous season. He's had a few times where he's lost the ball. He just doesn't seem like he's terribly comfortable in there. He got things going there, especially in the fourth quarter in that game. But by that point, the Wildcats had already had the victory pretty much sealed up. But the Wildcats are going to need Ryan Whitwell come playoff time. They're going to need him fully healthy because that 1-2 punch with Cage is lethal, because defenses will start stacking the box, putting seven or eight guys in. They'll only have three in coverage, and that's where the play action is very lethal. Also, I'm not too concerned about Kyle Antoine. Every quarterback's going to have an off day. We've seen Antoine have phenomenal days, and I think that's really the standard that, A, he has set for himself, but also that's just the standard that everybody expects him to be at. So I'm not too concerned with that. I think he'll really have a bounce-back game. It'll be good to get back in the groove, get his mind, get his body right before the playoffs. So some areas of praise, though. Strong ground attack. I mean, it was phenomenal. They didn't need Antoine to have a big game through the air. Also, penalties. They were much better for the first time this season. I can say happily with a smile on my face that the Wildcats did not, they didn't win the penalty battle. They actually only committed five penalties. They went for 55 yards, but the Cardinals gave up over 60 yards in penalties, so that was nice to see. Also, some player nods. No surprise here, Roosevelt Cage won Mideast Offensive Player of the Week in the MSFA, 222 yards on 28 carries with three touchdowns. Also, Josh Clifton won the Mideast Special Teams Player of the Week in the MSFA, going 2-for-2 on field goals and 6-for-6 on point after tries. Clifton has had that honor a number of times this season. Congrats to both of those players. Well deserved. So that was your weekly game recap. Of course, the Wildcats beating the Cardinals of Concordia in their final ever matchup by a score of 48-24. Now let's look ahead to this week's game. The Wildcats travel on the road for the final time this regular season to Adrian, Michigan to take on the 2-6 Saints of Siena Heights. Historically, the Wildcats have the edge in this series, winning 4 out of 6 games, with one of those losses coming in the 2021 season due to forfeiture of wins due to eligibility rules that were broken. The Saints are coming off a bye week. Before that, they lost to the Cardinals of Concordia by a score of 9-0. Looking at the stats from the Saints-Cardinals game from a couple weeks ago, the Saints were able to accrue just 9 first downs, 4 passing, 4 rushing, 1 aided by penalty. They were 1 of 13 on third downs. Total offense, just 145 yards. The Cardinals just dominated the day. The Cardinals, I think, are a much better team than I think a lot of people are going to give them credit for. They're 4-5 on the season. They came into the game against the Wildcats at .500. They're 2-1 now in conference play, but I really think they get a bad rap. The Cardinals are a much better team than, A, their stats, but also their record shows. They've had a number of injuries that they've had to overcome, and they have really done a nice job over there. It's sad to see that this is how the Cardinals' last season in existence will end. Obviously, their school is going all online. They're cutting all athletic programs, but it's really just a heartbreaking thing to see in that regard. Cardinals able to score off of 3 Caden Thomas field goals. The first one from 35, second one from 27, and the last run from 21. Through the air, the Saints were able to get 120 yards, just 25 total yards on the ground. So offensively, it was a bit of an abysmal day. But on the defensive side of the ball, I think it's easy to look at a game like that and just think, well, man, what was the offense not doing? We're not really praising the defense. They did a pretty good job working against that Cardinal offense. Cardinals, 235 yards of offense, 62 through the air, 173 yards on the ground. So once again, seeing the Cardinals quarterback woes come through to fruition in this season. But I think the Saints defense, it's really been the thing that has been able to carry them. This season, they've allowed 22.3 points per game, 308 total yards, 121 yards on the ground, and 186 yards through the air. Those are all their averages. Offensively, it's almost identical, 308 yards total, 118 on the ground, 189 passing, and 21.4 points per game. For a team that is only 2-6, you would think they're probably a .500 football team. If you look at stats and just, you know, go based on those things, you would guess they're a, you know, 4-4, 5-5 football team. But no, they're sitting there at 2-6. And I think the defense is really going to have to shine well. And I don't think that's going to be a question. The real thing for them is the offense. The offense really has to be able to step up this season. Elijah Taylor, their quarterback, he's played in all 8 games. He's completing about 52% of his passes. He's got 1,438 yards on the season. If you average it out, that's just under 180 yards per game. He's got 12 touchdowns to just 4 interceptions, so he's done a nice job taking care of the ball. The only problem is they're not winning games. Brendan Haselender has been their main guy on the ground. He's played in all 8 games. He's rushed the ball 182 times for 855 yards. He's averaging just under 107 yards per game. He's got 5 scores on the season. He's got 2 fumbles. He lost one of them. His longest run was 36. So this is an offense that is really looking just for a spark here. The passing game has not really been great. The rushing game has been a little subpar. And if they want any chance of competing with the Wildcats, they're going to be at home, which is going to be a nice thing. If they were coming to Marion, that is just a death sentence. Like I said, the Wildcats have won 23 straight games at home. That is not a typo. They have won that many straight games at home. No team has really been able to, you know, give them a challenge. Last year, obviously, Valparaiso came here, and the final score was, I believe, 24-22. That was about the closest home game that the Wildcats have seen to losing in a very long time. So the Saints have that advantage. They'll be at home, but they're playing the number 3 team in the NAIA, obviously the best team in the MSFA. Just looking at some team stats now for the Wildcats, they have scored 455 total points while only allowing 96. If you average it out, the Wildcats are scoring just over 50 points a game while keeping their opponents just over 10. I mean, if you want to talk about sheer dominance over your opponent and just running them over, I mean, we saw that from the Wildcats. We've seen it just about every week. The Cardinals really put up the best fight, I think, in my eyes, in terms of games that the Wildcats have won. Taylor did a nice job to start, but they just couldn't finish. Marion got a couple late touchdowns, but the Cardinals really played a solid first half. It was a 7-point ball game at halftime. You wouldn't really guess that when you look at the final score and you look at some of the stats, but the Cardinals were really hanging in there. They open up the second half with an interception off of Antoine, and it really looked like they were going to tie the ball game, but then a missed field goal really just put things out of reach as the Wildcats were able to take advantage and do what they do, and that means that's closing out games. So coming into this game for the Wildcats, some keys to success. Continue to run the ball well with Roosevelt Cage. You don't want to beat him up too much because you do have to save him now, especially with the absence of Ryan Whitwell. I think Elijah Gibbs will get more touches this game. Wouldn't be shocked if we see Antoine really throwing the ball a lot more. I think Rhodey knows that he needs to make sure his quarterback psyche doesn't get undone. So just have him throw the ball, take the checkdowns. It's like in basketball, you got to see the ball go in the bucket. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of short passing. I think Antoine will really get things right this game. This is kind of a get-right game for the entire team. Usually you say that coming out of a loss, but for the Wildcats, that first half was really sloppy, very ugly. So I think they are going to treat this game against the Saints as a get-right game. Just go back to doing things the right way, getting their minds right, getting everything checked out, ready to go, because they got the playoffs coming up here soon, and they have to win these 2 games. You don't want to take any opponent for granted. You don't want to underestimate anybody, because on any Saturday, you could lose a game, and that's it. You put yourself out of a good spot. The Wildcats at number 3. The latest they would host is quarterfinals at this point, and that's assuming Grandview and Kaiser are able to stay at the 1-2 spots. Having the number 3 spot, not a bad place to be at, but the Wildcats have to take care of business this weekend, which I believe they will. The Saints, they're better than the record shows, but I don't think they're good enough to beat the Wildcats, but we will see what happens this Saturday. Kickoff for the Wildcats and Saints game is at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and that's all for this week in Wildcats football.